Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
Hello, I'm Karen Sconsert, and this is Education Matters. We all remember our days in high school, often centered on social events, sports, and yes, even classes. High school graduation is a rite of passage in the United States. It is also very predictive of who can hold a steady job, who can succeed in technical school or college, and even seemingly unrelated outcomes such as creating a successful marriage or raising successful children. Over the past 20 years or so, there has been a great deal of new research into how to increase high school graduation rates, and almost all of these studies point to a crucial period of time, the first semester of ninth grade. Today, we have gathered a group of experts from Kenosha Unified School District to discuss the district's efforts to help students to make a successful transition from middle school to high school. So we have four guests today. Kim Fisher has been in education in Kenosha since 1998 as a 6th through 12th grade teacher and principal. Currently, Kim serves as the interim coordinator for secondary school leadership. Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Then we have Amy Riedlinger. She's currently a 9th grade principal at Indian Trail High School and has been with KUSD for 15 years, serving formerly as a middle school teacher, dean, and instructional coach before becoming the assistant principal 4 years ago. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
Jason Lemke has been in education since 1997, serving as a teacher, dean, and assistant principal. Jason is currently an assistant principal at Kenosha Bradford High School, supporting and guiding Freshman Academy and Quest.
Hello.
Hi. And then Cliff Johnson is in his 14th year in education. Cliff taught 8th grade at Bullen Middle School for 10 years. He is now the freshman dean of students at Tremper High School.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. So let me begin by asking Kim Fisher to sort of clarify this topic for us. If you had to give parents or new teachers a sort of a 30-second elevator pitch about transition to ninth grade, how do you describe it?
Well, our freshman programs, they're really about providing support for 14 and 15-year-olds who don't always see school as so important themselves. In high school, it's really all about earning credits for graduation and doing the work that they need to do to get smarter. What our students do or don't do in high school becomes very consequential. But our kids don't always know that because they're 14. We're the adults. We know how crucial a strong education is. So our job then as educators in a community is to provide those supports that kids need. Research into the freshman year is absolutely clear. Kids fall behind during ninth grade. They've got a 59% lower graduation rate than kids who are able to stay on track for ninth grade. The freshman transition programs work to increase the number of kids who earn enough credits in ninth grade to then become 10th graders and then go on with the long-range goal of graduating in 4 years. Kenosha Unified has made some amazing gains in our graduation rates for all kids, and our freshman programs are a really big part of that. Mm-hmm. Our rate right now overall for all students is 88% graduating on time, and our graduation rates for our students of color are far exceeding the state average right now. I have never met a parent who doesn't want their child to have the skills necessary to launch successfully into adulthood, whether they plan on moving on to college or directly into a career. But having that high school diploma is the first step, and that's what freshman programs are designed to do.
Okay, that's very helpful. So, Jason, Kim said a little bit about this already, but can you explain for our listeners why ninth grade is such a crucial year and what can happen if students aren't successful in this transition?
Sure. It is very important for students to get off to a good start and get comfortable as soon as possible. We focus on credits and credit acquisition starting during the summer with our freshman dinner and on the first day of school with Freshman Fest before the upperclassmen even walk in the door at school. We want our students to be very aware of their graduation requirements before they even begin their high school experience. We want them to have a clear understanding of what they need to graduate and what their responsibilities are at Bradford the minute that they walk in that door. Mm-hmm. We talk about a transition from middle to high school, but the reality is that they need to start earning credits and working towards graduation that first day of school, and they need to be prepared to be successful. if students do fall behind early in their high school years, it's very difficult for them to catch up. There just simply aren't enough class periods in the day to take extra classes and recover those credits. Also, many of our courses are sequential. Our classes and curriculum build on the previous class and the previous curriculum, so it's hard to just jump back into a course path without that prior knowledge. A big piece of the puzzle is just making the students and the parents aware of those expectations. We are working towards earning credits, and we are working towards earning credits the first day of school and the moment that we walk in the door at Bradford.
Okay. So, Cliff, you recently taught middle school at Bullen. Was it 4 years ago, you said?
That's correct, yeah.
And so you can probably you can describe for us some of the things eighth grade teachers and counselors do to prepare students for high school. What sorts of things do you talk to them about, and how do you prepare kids for that entering that big high school experience?
Well, it's interesting to echo what Jason and Kim had just said, too. We need to prepare them to earn credits. Mm-hmm. At the middle school level, they don't need to earn credits to graduate, per se. At high school, they need 23.5 by the time they're done. So what we did as eighth grade teachers is we try to instill in them the fact that you can't just go through here and hope to graduate. There is something that you need to reach to earn. And so the nice part about that is having transitioned from an eighth grade teacher into a ninth grade dean is I got to see it on both ends. I got to see the eighth graders leave me going on to the high school. Now I get to see them coming in as ninth graders. So what we're able to do is get proactive. I get to go into the middle school starting in February. I go in with the guidance counselors, and we reinforce that with the eighth grade teachers. We explain to them. We put it up on a board and explain the number of science credits, social studies, math, English, elective credits that they need to graduate. So that way they can actually see it in writing. There's something strong there that they're focusing toward. And we start out early as well. We have strategies for success in summer school where they are allowed to come in and actually earn a quarter to a half a credit before they even walk through our door. So by the time they come to us on the 1st of September, we've got some freshmen who have already succeeded. They've already had maybe a gym credit, a strategies for success credit, and they come to us with credits already, and that's really important. And that's something we push at the eighth grade level, too, when I'm able to get into those middle schools, visit with the students, visit with the counselors, and kind of explain to them what they have to look forward to, because they've got some work ahead of them. That's mm-hmm. for certain. They want to make sure we're at about 6 credits a year. Some kids take 6.5 to 7, and it becomes the rigor is tough, and it might be different than middle school, but a lot of the students are already coming prepared to us because we're able to get into those middle schools and reinforce that.
Mm-hmm. So really it's kind of a knowledge is power situation. The more they understand the system and how it works, the better they can, you know, actually succeed in it.
It is a knowledge of the system, and that's, you know, they need the passing grade in order to earn the credit. And we find a lot of students, that's a big wake-up call, almost from day one, where they recognize the fact that if I don't pass this class, I'm taking it over again. Mm-hmm. And that's the reality of high school, is mm-hmm. they need to pass those classes. I mean, the freshman year biology class, freshman year Algebra 1 class, these things, and those are just two examples. U.S. history is another. And then we've got a literature class where these kids need to have these freshman year classes. If they don't pass them, they do it until they pass, and then that's an eye-opener for them.
Right. So, Amy, I know we've talked a little bit about some specific programs, but are there system-wide programs? Do you all get together and talk about things that you can do for the ninth grade transition, or is it really unique to each school?
I think what Jason and Cliff have both described, we all do at all the schools, at all the big high schools. We have a lot of the same types of things going on. And the biggest piece is to get them there every day, to get our students in attendance every day and engaged in activities. One thing that I think all of us are doing, if not we're in the development phases of this, is a program called Link Crew. And what it is upperclassmen, juniors and seniors who have been elected by school staff as role models for students that would help connect our freshmen to school. And the Link Crew students, I know at our school we have over 100 upperclassmen because we do have such a large school. that work with our freshmen weekly. They do monthly meetings with our freshmen, but they meet weekly to provide activities and plan activities for the students.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also provide different interventions within all of our schools as well. So when we do find that students aren't doing well, we have those safety nets in place for them so that we, and that looks different in all of the buildings, but it has the same purpose. And that mm-hmm. is, like they both mentioned, to acquire those credits.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is finding this transition as a really difficult thing for them, we all have different ways to kind of catch them so that we can provide the support that's necessary. And that might come in different forms in different high schools. We have a student engagement specialist because we are so large.
At Indian Trail.
At Indian Trail.
Right.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And because we want to make sure that we have that potential to get a hold of all the students that really have life going on outside of school that might be a huge challenge for them, and we need to help the families get the support they can, because like Kim said, they all want their students to graduate from high school and have mm-hmm. opportunities for them waiting for them. And a big piece with all of us as well is the communication with families.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I can say that's true of all the schools, is that we each have networks and ways of making the families, giving them a way to get to us, whether it's via email or we have phone calls or home visits. All of these are really important factors that play into that engagement piece, because they're, like I said, they're not able to get the credits unless they're at school.
Right. So let's talk about some of these specific things that you do that might be different at each of your schools. Any one of you can answer. So how do Indian Trail is different than Trimber, is different than Bradford? I'm going to start.
I can jump
Jason.
In there.
Okay.
This is Jason from Bradford. At Bradford, we have Freshman Academy. We have a group of teachers that are dedicated to working specifically with freshmen each and every day, and they do a great job. These teams of teachers meet regularly. They meet 3-4 times a month to discuss students, to discuss assessments, curriculum, upcoming events like homecoming, fundraisers, field trips, programs, assemblies, anything that we might have coming up. The teachers meet just to make sure that they're all on the same page regarding all the students and those upcoming events. Those meetings are very powerful and very impactful. I think they're very important to the whole process. You get a group of 6-7 teachers that all service that same core group of students, and they're able to work together and just openly talk about the needs and the wants and the desires of those students and really help push them in the right direction and get them moving. These meetings and conversations, in my mind, those are the most important part of Freshman Academy. Those are the things that really drive the process. When you talk about Freshman Academy, sometimes you think about the dinner in the summer or the programs, but really what it is a system of supports. Like Kim said, it's a system of supports that we use with all of our student support personnel, all of our teachers, to really wrap around those students and really help support them as they transition into high school.
So one of the things, having been on teams like this as a middle school teacher when mm-hmm. I used to teach middle school, so one of the things that sometimes kids do, maybe not intentionally, but say they're falling through the cracks and maybe going really behind in math,
mm-hmm.
But not in the other classes. So when you have a team meeting like that, is that one of the things that you talk about? What is the strategy maybe a math teacher can use that, works well for the English teacher or something
Absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. And one of the things that we really find is that it comes down to relationships. It really
mm-hmm.
comes down to the relationships that the student has with the teachers. Maybe one teacher has a key way to reach that student, or a good relationship with that student, or a good way to communicate with that student, or the little tricks of the trade that each teachers have to really get through to each individual student.
Mm-hmm.
Each student is an individual. They have their own individual wants, needs, and we as teachers and as administrators and as school personnel really need to do our best to find those and use those to our advantage to help that student be successful.
What's going on specifically at Tremper?
At Tremper, we also do link crew. We've got 91 link crew leaders. We do all sorts of really great things with our freshmen. I happen to be the freshman dean, so all close to 400 freshman students are kind of on my caseload, as it would be. We also have a freshman academy. It runs a little bit differently, but much like what Jason said, it's similar because a lot of the freshmen all have the same teachers. So, for example, there are only a couple teachers teach that Algebra 1, only a couple teachers teach the U.S. History to the freshmen. So it's really easy. If I have a student who might be struggling in one class, I can go to another teacher and say, what are you doing? How is this working? And what do you do to help it work? And then I can provide feedback to the other teacher that this student might be struggling with. One of the things that we do, we like to get community and family involved. In August, we have a chat and chew where we bring parents in. We explain sort of what it's like to transition into high school. This year, we've got something brand new that's actually coming up in January. What we're doing is called Coco and Cram. Our 91 Link crew leaders are actually going to be set up on January 10th, and they're going to prepare freshman students on what it's like to take final exams. Freshmen have never taken a final exam.
Yeah.
They've taken cumulative assessments before, but they don't realize that there's a whole semester's worth of information coming their way in one very short week of high school. And so what they're doing is they're setting up different tables based on the curriculum. And the Link crew leaders are going to meet with each of the teachers. They're going to get the review guides from them. There's going to be a spot in the gym where they're going to, and it's called Coco and Cram. There's going to be Coco. There's going to be donations. There's going to be gifts, raffles. There's going to be an opportunity for kids to go from one station to the next, work on what it might be they need. There'll be a study skill station, and there's also going to be a brain break station where there'll be fun activities for the kids too, just because, as we all know, what it's like to cram for tests or multiple tests, allow those kids the opportunity to kind of take a break. So that's a neat thing that we're doing that's coming up. And there's also a parent component for that as well. It actually goes from 3 to 7 p.m., but at 6 o'clock we're going to gather the parents in the auditorium, and there's going to be a presentation, and it's called Owning Your Education. And the whole idea is to explain to the parents, these are your freshman children, but they need to own their education. And it's time for them to start recognizing that here are the credits that they need, this is the process that it's going to take. A lot of it's going to focus on GPA, on credits, what they need to get into college. So a lot of looking forward as well, just given the fact that in you know, 2.5 short years after that, they'll be juniors and they'll be taking the ACT test. And then we really are starting to think big picture here, and we're looking far into the future with these kids, and bringing the parents in and getting the community involved as best we can allows us to make that real for them.
Great. That sounds like I feel like I need the Coco and Cram. We should do that at Carthage.
You're more than welcome.
We have something called late night breakfast where the faculty come and feed the students during finals week. So I haven't done that because it's too late for me. But so, Amy, tell us if there's anything specific to ITHS, Indian Trail High School, and you have your four specialty academies, too. So I don't know if they do anything different around freshman orientation or freshman transition.
Right. We have a big part of our freshman orientation, and a big piece of the freshman engagement piece is a lot what Cliff was talking about in our Link crew. Mm-hmm. We really, really, we owe a lot to these 11th and 12th grade school leaders that we have, because they take a lot of time with our freshmen. And they'll call them, invite them to events, school events, because we know getting them there is probably the scariest thing for our freshmen. Like, where am I going to sit? So we have events that are hosted by our Link crew students. And we do the Coco and Cram as well. And then there's another one before the spring finals, which is always a bigger event, because once they go to the Coco and Cram, they know, like, the snacks are free. So they go to the Lemonade and Learn right before our finals in June. So I can't speak enough to that, but the Link crew is a huge piece of our freshman transition piece as well. We also have ninth grade assemblies, and I think it's mostly because, you know, we're a big school and we want to make sure that we get all the freshmen, and to gather them all together, we do it three times a year. So we did it right before homecoming, and we showed them, this is what homecoming looks like at Indian Trail. This is what you can wear there. You don't need to go out and do all of these expensive things. Just come, have fun. And then we have the Link crew students talk to them about what the experience is, because they haven't been to a dance of that size. Mm-hmm. Middle school dances are not the same as high school dances. And then we explain to them, you know, also that the whole safety piece of that too, because it's overwhelming. We have some students that come from, you know, being homeschooled to a very small school where there's 25 students in their class, and then they come to us where they're in a class of 600 students just for their ninth grade class. So we really do our best to make them feel really comfortable in our school. We also, before they get to school, we do the early start that Cliff and Jason have mentioned, but we also have a special night for just our ELL students and their families and our special ed students and their families to come before, because, of course, parents have a lot of questions, and our ELL will need, our parents will need some interpreters there, because it's really hard to assess how good the school is going to serve your child if there's a language barrier. So we make sure that we try to get to everyone before they even come to our school, to have them, and Academy included with that. Mm-hmm. We have the lottery is actually going to be happening for us in January, so we will invite all of the new students who accept placement into the Academy. There's always an open house in April. Mm-hmm. So that's for all the families and the new students to the Academy. They get to meet with students who are currently in the Academy programs as well as students who have graduated, so they can really think about, this is, where is this going to take me, this niche Academy, talking to the parents as well. And all the staff members are there from the Academies as well. So that hopefully will help that transition, because in the Academy, a lot of our students are not from our feeder schools. So it's not only a new building, it's all new peers for them, mm-hmm. which to them is very, it's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. So it's a way for them to kind of look at who they're going to be with for the next 4 years in their academies.
Right. And I suppose for some of them, that's kind of a long travel to get to Indian Trail. So they're not, they don't live in that school area. They might be coming from the south side or way on the north side or whatever instead.
Right.
Yeah. So right. There's that too. Well, that's a lot to get used to. I'm going to just take a break to remind our listeners that you're listening to WGTDHD-FM, and this is Education Matters. This discussion of transition to high school for ninth graders with educators from the Kenosha Unified School District is archived at WGTD.org on the Education Matters page. You're invited to listen again there, or you can find our WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in the discussion there. So, Kim, there are more high schools in our district than just Indian Trail, Bradford, and Tremper. So can you tell us a bit about ninth grade transition in the different specialty high schools that we have?
I don't know of a school that doesn't somehow focus on transition.
Right.
We have to. Our schools will focus on transition at the middle school level when fifth graders are coming into sixth grade, mm-hmm. and they'll focus then again as ninth graders, because school is a little different at every level, so you have to begin to teach kids how to do school again when they enter that new level. So they'll all focus on some kind of transition. They'll just do it a little differently in a way that's suitable for their student population and their kids' needs. And some of that transition is actually going on right now. Mm-hmm. This week we have presentations at all of our middle schools going on. Recently there was a presentation at Bolin, and then later this week there'll be parent presentations over at Lance. Mm-hmm. And then students will be spoken to about middle school, about high school choice programs overall. This is that time of year where students and their families have to begin thinking about, what do they want to do for high school? Do they want to attend one of the large comprehensive high schools? Or do they want to start thinking about specialty choice programs like Lakeview or Harborside, Reuther, E-School, or then the academies at Indian Trail? In January, then, our comprehensive and our choice schools will all host their own open houses. And by January 20th, our students will be asked to make a choice about the high school they hope to attend for their freshman year. We have, at Kenosha Unified, a ton of support for our choice school programs. We are very fortunate in this community that our families have so many options to choose what's going to be right for them and their child. So I would really encourage parents to look for that letter they received in the mail within the last week or so. Make sure that they take a look and note those dates where the presentations will be going on from now up and through January, so that they have a sense of what their opportunities are and they can talk to their child. Some kids really want that large, comprehensive high school experience, and some kids really need a smaller, more focused or specialized experience. There's benefits to each, and that's a decision that families will have to make for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. In some ways, it's a little bit like people choosing, if they choose to go to college, you know, choosing between a technical college or a big college like UW-Madison or a small college like Carthage. You know, they're all different, and they all have benefits, and it just is whatever fits them best, right?
That's an excellent analogy. Mm-hmm. This is their opportunity to start to think about what is my fit, where feels like home to me, and then they put their application in. Now, just because a student does say, I really think I want to go to one of our choice schools, most of our choice schools operate via a lottery system, and then there are a couple of choice schools, Lakeview and Reuther, that operate via application systems. Mm-hmm. So not all students are able to get in to a choice school, and then they would be assigned to their comprehensive boundary school.
Okay. So one of the things I did to prepare for this is just looking into sort of most recent research on the topic of transition. And there was a big study released in Chicago about improved graduation rates over two decades, actually. So they really looked at sort of long term what that giant school system did to increase graduation rates. And they've gone up a huge amount in that period of time. So they described there were really several distinct policy changes that seemed to have a huge impact on graduation rates. So I'm going to quote here. Schools are increasingly using early warning indicators to monitor students' performance and to prevent students from failing classes, partnering with nonprofit groups to provide mentoring and support to at-risk students, and providing opportunities for students to recover the credits from the classes they have failed. And that's the end of the quote. So I'm just curious, does KUSD employ any of these same practices, early warning indicators, mentoring programs, or credit recovery?
And we absolutely do. There's no doubt about it. Okay. I know that all three of our high schools will take a look at student data to identify which kids may need more support when they're entering into high school right away. They'll get started on that in the spring while kids are still in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. The state does provide some data in what's called the dues system, but most of our high schools will actually reach out to the district offices so that they can get more timely information than the state system would provide. Cliff, I believe, mentioned visiting our eighth graders at the middle school, and I know that all of our high schools will do that. They'll go to the middle schools to visit to start helping middle school kids understand what is this credit thing you speak of at high school, how do I do it, and to start making connections with staff so that when they're walking in that first day of school, they can say, oh, I remember seeing you when I remember seeing you. Mm-hmm. That's already begun. High school people will look at attendance data, behavioral data, student achievement data, both grades and test scores, just to start putting all of those support systems in place before the kids hit the door.
Mm-hmm. So if you notice, for example, that there's a student who's had a lot of absences as an eighth grader, that's someone you're going to keep an eye on as a ninth grader and make sure they know how to get to school and they have their bus passes and all the rest of the things they need.
Absolutely. Right. And that information then gets shared out with counselors or support staff within the building to say, here are kids we need to make that connection with right now. Some of the schools will even prioritize students. Here's the first students we need to hit that first week of school. Here are second students. Here's kids we want to hit at home visits in the summertime. It's really about making those connections and starting to build those relationships with kids. Mm-hmm. And then supporting that work, there are some great mentoring programs our community offers through CABA, through the Boys and Girls Club, through school support systems themselves, whether that's counselors or administrators or our link leaders. All of our schools will work in some level with peer tutoring or peer leadership. Kids, they really like to listen to other kids. They're not always so fond about listening to adults. So the more we can capitalize on older and wiser voices, the better off we are. And many then credit recovery kinds of opportunities. Some of them will begin right away, even second semester freshman year, when we can identify that biology class you have to pass, that didn't go so well for semester. So here's what we're going to start doing right away during second semester, and here's how we're going to help you recover that credit. Mm-hmm. High school's short. It's 4 years long. Right. We have to be very, very proactive in helping our kids to stay on track, get all the way to graduation, and then be ready to go off to college or career.
So, Amy, Cliff, or Jason, any of you, do you have examples of how you use data to target transition programs for your ninth graders? Want to start, Jason?
Sure. Just very much what Kim said, being preventative, really getting out ahead of the curve. We identify those students using that data that she mentioned, the behavior data, the attendance data, even personal conversations with guidance counselors or social workers or psychologists from those middle schools, and identify those students who may need those additional supports and may need that extra help and reach out to them. We reach out to students during the summer and paid home visits, made phone calls, made contacts so that those students have that go-to person in the building the minute that they walk through the door. Not just keeping an eye on them, but really wrapping around them with all the services that we have available, school social worker, guidance counselor, teachers, mentors, deans, everyone that we have available to reach those students, to provide them with those resources that they need to first of all feel comfortable and then feel confident in their ability to be successful in the building.
Anything to add, Cliff?
Just at Tremper, just pretty much the same. We have guidance counselors essentially identify students. Is this an attendance issue? Is this student a behavior issue? And then we go from there. It is, you know, middle of August, we're doing the home visits. Mm-hmm. You'd be surprised how much the parents absolutely love that. They welcome us into the house. They think it's the greatest thing. And you brought up something really interesting that I kind of put a note here. Bus passes. I mean, we have students that live a block from their middle school, but now all of a sudden have to figure out a transit system, which they might not be familiar with. That's a whole new world for them. So just getting the kid acquainted to how do I even get to school in the first place is a huge major step that we take while we do these visits and we acquaint them with what's to come.
Mm-hmm. Amy?
Yeah, and this is Amy. We have one thing that we're fortunate to have at Indian Trail, and it's a grant-funded position that we're able to have, is that once we do identify those students who are most at risk of not engaging freshman year, we have a class for them. So we have a teacher who is in charge of this engagement piece with our freshmen. So we know we're very fortunate to be able to have this position this year. And it's really served as a wonderful communication piece between these students who really have struggled in middle school and with the parents. So the parents communicate through that one teacher pretty much all day about all of the classes that they have, so that it's not so overwhelming to the parents either to have to try to keep track of seven different classes. So that's one thing that we use all that data to identify which students would benefit from that class the most. And it's been a very successful piece for us this year.
Great. So, Kim, all of our high schools also have students who aren't really at risk. They're kind of the high flyers who can perform well above grade level. Mm-hmm. So what do you offer for your high-achieving ninth graders coming into high school in Kenosha?
We have some fantastically talented students, and the high school is really the place where they can start to challenge themselves even more. Whether they're challenging themselves academically is what we would think of the most traditionally, but also in some cases for kids challenging themselves both emotionally and socially. Our eighth graders to start with, while they're still in school, need to begin having conversations with their teachers and their families about whether honors level programming is going to be most appropriate for them entering high school. And if so, what courses should they take on at the honors level? Then in ninth grade, they're also going to start hearing things about course sequencing over the year, what their future plans are, youth options and AP kinds of courses as they're looking towards upper class level courses. And then we start talking to them right away. What are you thinking about college? What are employers looking for? And essentially, it's all the same thing. Employers and colleges want students who have strong grades, who can demonstrate that they can accept a challenging course and succeed in it. They look at ACT scores, and then they're looking for community involvement and leadership as well. I also am a big believer in efficacy and growth mindset. I strongly believe that smart comes in lots of different forms, and our kids can get smarter all the time. And knowing that you can learn and change and grow and work to get smarter, that's part of what we're looking to help kids develop, that even if they're struggling with something, that they can persevere, they can overcome that, and they can get smarter as they push their way through and challenge themselves. Education doesn't stop at high school, and education doesn't stop at college. It's lifelong. Mm-hmm. We want our kids to understand that education brings them options for who they want to be, what they want to be, how they want to live.
That's a nice way of putting it. So we've been talking about mostly about academic stuff, but the a big part of the transition to high school is the social aspect of it. And you talked a little bit about, I thought it was interesting that you had an assembly before homecoming at Indian Trail. What are some other things that you do to help ease the social transition for freshmen?
Right, and it is. It's an awkward time for them because they don't know what to expect. And one of the things I think that helps them is we're a PBIS school too, and it's important for them to have that consistency among the different classrooms that they're going to encounter throughout the day. So I think that we don't want to underestimate that is a big piece of it. So they know exactly what to expect at all times from every person, every staff member in the building. And I think that kind of helps a lot with this transition because it creates that safe environment for them where they can grow and they can make sure that they're establishing habits that are good for them in mm-hmm. school. And we do things, you know, we have incentives as all school incentives for them so they can see their peers being recognized in older grades as well for doing these things that are good to do in school and those habits. We're hoping that they take when they leave mm-hmm. when they leave us at Indian Trail and they move off into college and or whatever they decide to do after school. And so they have the basis of what I need to do to be successful in this type of environment. I think, you know, we have other assemblies throughout the year to just kind of talk about what's coming up, you know, before finals, before we have time for them where we explain exactly what Cliff and Jason have talked about, too, is the credits. You know, what does this mean? Now we're finishing our first semester. What does this mean for you? And here, again, are the faces of the people who are in the building to support you. So if you haven't met your counselor yet, which they would have all at one point because the counselors do reach out to them, but if you can't remember who that is, this is your counselor here. This is your dean, and these are the other support people in the building who are here to help you. So we do our best to bring it to them. Like we said, being a large place, they really get a lot from their team of teachers because we operate as a team as well. We have teams of ninth grade staff. So they really do a lot as far as communicating with them about some of these little things that have to do with freshman year that they might ask, you know, kind of on the fly in the classrooms. And then if the teachers are identifying, hey, you know what, my second hour class was asking about this too. This is something maybe we forgot to mention. And each year we learn something new about what we could present to our freshmen. And we're always looking for new ways to make this transition a better piece for them. And I think the biggest piece is just that communication with the parents. I know on our website we have a ninth grade tab just for the ninth grade students and parents because I know as a parent looking at a website, if I'm trying to sift through information, I just want to know what I need to know. And this is our way of trying to streamline it just for the ninth grade parents because there are things that really probably don't apply to them just yet mm-hmm. or they're not kind of in their heads there yet looking for that piece of information. So we try to keep it simple and as they establish these habits for high school.
Let me just clarify, just in case people don't know what PBIS is, it's called Positive Behavior Intervention Supports. And I actually interviewed some of your colleagues about this a couple of months ago. So you could go to the WGTD archives at WGTD.org. This is perfect timing because I need to remind our listeners that you're listening to WGTD HDFM and this is Education Matters. We're discussing the transition to high school for ninth graders with educators from the Kenosha Unified School District. So you can go back and listen to the entire discussion at WGTD.org or look at browser archives and look for some other things. Or you could join the WGTD Education Matters Facebook page and join in a discussion there. We're talking with Kim Fisher, who's KUSD's Interim Coordinator for Secondary School Leadership, Jason Lemke, the Assistant Principal at Kenosha Bradford High School, Cliff Johnson, freshman dean of students at Tremper High School, and Amy Riedlinger, the ninth grade principal at Indian Trail. And believe it or not, we're getting a little short on time here, so I'm going to skip right ahead because I know that listeners are always interested in knowing stories that come out of our schools. So I wonder if each of you can share a story about a student who really benefited from this ninth grade transition, someone who got caught by your programs, your safety nets, and really made a success. And you know, maybe they're a junior or senior now, and they can remember their time as a freshman. Maybe you've had that conversation with them. So anyone could start with this. You want to try, Cliff?
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, the minute you said this, the student's name popped right into my head, and I'll leave him off the radio. But I could tell you flat out, from ninth grade year, he was in my office a lot. he was in my office sometimes on a weekly, sometimes on a daily basis. But one of the things that worked for him is we did kind of gather around him. The guidance office, the deans, there's a school social worker involved, and we saw potential. Just as we see potential in all 400 freshmen as they walk through the door, this one boy specifically jumped out because he's one of our number one link leaders right now. He is the one that gets in on the megaphone and talks to the freshmen. He gives them anecdotes. He talks to them about what it was like to be a freshman, what it was like to spend some time in Mr. Johnson's office more often than he probably should have been, and real-life examples. It was mentioned earlier today that it means so much more when it comes kid to kid than it's adult to student. When he stands in front of a group of students, they listen. Mm-hmm. And to watch this young man grow and transition from my first year there, because this is cool for me because I'm 4 years as being a dean, so all these seniors now, I call them my kids, they're my first group, to watch him come through and do what he's done to rise to the point of being a leader in our building, it's very special. It's quite amazing, to be honest with you.
Okay. Who else has a story?
Mine is similar to Cliff's. This is the best part, when you do get to see someone develop into, as in our school too, it's one of our best link leaders, and he just graduated last year. Why are they boys? I don't know. but this was one of our squirreliest ninth graders that came in, 5 years ago, and just constantly, what are you doing? That's the conversation about, how are we doing this thing as a ninth grader. And it was the same thing. All the support nets that we had in place were able to catch him and his family too, because they were trying to figure out. It was their oldest, and they had a lot that they had going on at home too. So it was just a matter of how do we help this family to see that help the students see his own potential, because he was running with not the most healthy group of students at the time, so he had created some habits already that weren't positive for his growth in school. So it was just that same wonderful story, and he is right now one of graduated last year, one of our best link crew leaders that we had.
We have time for a really quick story, Jason.
I guess my story isn't really a specific student. It's a group of students that we targeted. About 6 weeks ago, we targeted a group of students that were struggling in just one class, that had a D or an F in one class, where they were very successful in most of their other classes, getting A's, B's, or C's. But we identified that they were struggling in one specific class. And we wrapped around them with our student services team, our dean, Matt Rizzo, our guidance counselor, Amber Wabalikas. We met with them. We set up game plans. We came up with specific details. And after 6 weeks, we checked back in, and we had 24 of those 30 kids with that grade up to a B or a C, and all of the other six were making progress towards that improvement. So as a group, they were very successful, and that just kind of shows the cohesiveness of our team and how well we work together and really work to support kids.
Well, that's really the whole point. Mm-hmm. I'm really sorry we're actually out of time. So I have to thank you all. Our guests today are Kim Fisher from the KUSD Interim Coordinator for Secondary School Leadership, Jason Lemke from Bradford, Cliff Johnson from Tremper, Amy Riedlinger from Indian Trail High School. You're listening to WGTD HD FM, and this is Education Matters. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this, our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshensky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. This is an exciting program for me since in a few days the two guests I have on my program today will be vying for the 66th Assembly seat, recently vacated by the previous Assembly Representative Corey Mason, who now serves as the mayor of Racine. This special election will be held on December 19th and will pit two Democrats against each other, and the winner will most likely be taking the 66th Assembly seat in the special legislative election in January. This is a two-part program today, with John Tate being interviewed for half of the program and Greta Neubauer being interviewed for the other half. These two interviews give you, the voter, the opportunity to hear the issues and to vote for the candidate of your choice. So first, I want to thank you.